Okay, I think we're ready.
Life's not like Flynn, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful Stonehead. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to poop, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it, fuck you.
I wanted to save this for our big 100th show, because there are 11 tracks, and we're going to shoot for 11 hours, so there'd be a track per hour, but I couldn't wait. There's a really great electronic horn solo. This is a song called Multiply with Power, parentheses, 0 and 1. I mean, there you go. Even go in for a second dip. Lesser bands trying to teach you to multiply would only go for one horn solo, but not these guys. These guys got the guts to keep it going. Ooh, a little scratch. Okay, welcome. I'm sick as fuck. Well, I'm getting over getting sick, you know. Went back to work today. Feeling like shit. I missed more work this time than I think I've ever missed from a sickness. Probably in my life. It was nuts. But I had to do something because we need a 99th show. Otherwise, we can't have a 100th show, can we? And we did 100 shows, I think, without ever missing a week. If I'm not mistaken, So here's the thing. So I got sick, right? It was terrible. It was last Tuesday night. Started feeling a little off. And I was thinking to myself, maybe I'm getting sick. Allison had just been sick. You know, she was just getting over it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling sick too, you know? But you don't know if you're doing the thing where you're like, yeah, me too, let's all be sick, or if you're really sick. So I made a very fortunate run to Target that night, where I got a few very necessary things. You know, I got Batman Trilogy, because I saw that. I knew Batman came out. I was like, there must be a 3-pack, which there is. Unfortunately, it's in a gift set that's about a half inch taller than your average DVD box, which means it does not fit in anything. I don't know if that's part of their plan, because then they're thinking, well, they'll have to buy a display cabinet for this, you know, as opposed to, well, they'll have to leave it laying weirdly to the side, and everyone who comes over will say, what's up with that Batman DVD? And they'll say, this fucking thing doesn't fit anywhere. Because that's what really happens if you're listening out there, Batman DVD collection makers. So I got that, got some other things. If you're listening to this right now, I would encourage you to get comfortable. You know, maybe light a candle, maybe put on a robe. Do any of you own a robe? I'm guessing no. Or if you do, I mean, you know, it's because someone got you a robe at some point. But who's wearing the robes? I kind of was thinking about this. I got a robe is why I'm asking. This is how I knew I was sick. I saw these robes hanging there and I was like, that looks so comfortable. I could probably put on that robe and then find the comfort in my life that I've always been seeking via robe. You know, it's probably not an emotional connection of sorts or a familiarity with another human. It's probably a robe that's going to make the difference. Now, I do notice on sitcoms, everyone's got a robe on a sitcom. And there are a couple kinds of robes, of course. There's the men's robe, which is always plaid, always, you know, full-length robe, always worn over a full set of pajamas. You know, I noticed this watching the television show The Big Bang Theory, and it just, it was of note to me because I was like, don't these guys live in, like, California somewhere? How cold is it at night? It's not like they're living in Alaska. I mean, I could see if you're watching Northern Exposure and there's a guy going to get the paper and he's got a robe and his pajamas on. Where did that happen? Somewhere in the north? Canada? Who knows? But it's California. It must be something like in the shows where they're like, we want to show that these people are sleeping. You know, and it's like a roommate will knock on another roommate's door and a door-answering roommate will come be tying the sash on his robe as he opens the door, which is like, so your roommate knocks on your door at 4 a.m. and you're like, I better put on my robe just in case. What's the situation that you're like, well, I don't want him to know that I don't have my robe on, but it's cool if he knows I didn't have it on before. You know what's going on there? Then there's the girl robe, which is always silk, looks to be some kind of silk, always cuts off about 100 inches above the knee, somehow covers up the, you know, junk area, probably doesn't cover the butt, we probably just don't see the butt ever, and, you know, it seems, and it's always open to the chest, too, which, that's kind of the opposite problem of the man robe. It's the, what's the point of it? It's not covering anything. It's like, I can even see your nipples through that. What are you doing? Why would you even wear that? That's just a bizarre, like, oh, let me throw something on real quick before I come do stuff. And then lady shows up in that, you'd be like, no, you can't do anything still. You're not ready to do stuff. You're not wearing any. You put on a scarf. You taped over your parts. I mean, that doesn't really, you'd be better off because if you don't wear the robe, then we have to tile you out. You'll be more appropriate that way. There is also a third robe, which is a lady style robe put on a man for humorous effect. You know, if a man, if you ever see a scene in a show and a man's wearing a pink robe, a very luxuriously fluffy robe, or anything like that, then you know something's coming. Something related to this robe is happening. This is going to be a bad scene. I'm not drinking booze, obviously, much to my chagrin. I'm drinking coffee, though, for the first time since I got sick. It's been like a week. I always wonder when I get sick, you know, because they say, oh, you get the worst caffeine headaches, which I wouldn't know because I don't stop drinking coffee because I'm not an idiot. But whenever I get sick, you know, and I have headaches and stuff, I think, I wonder if part of this is, you know, withdrawal from the old friend caffeine. I call her Kathy sometimes. It's been a long time since I've done this. So I bought the robe. I've worn it. I mean, part of the problem, obviously, is that I was freezing all the time or sweating all the time. So I would say the robe was pretty good because it's a good sweat barrier. And also, it's, you know, added warmth. So if you're terribly ill, I mean, if you're dying, if you find out you have AIDS, let's say, I'd say go get a robe. You know, or, but here's what I'm going to suggest. This is kind of my helpful thing for the day. You guys should go get a robe. You know why? Because maybe it's like people don't do this for laziness. They always do this for activity, right? You'll be like, I'm buying the year-long gym membership. Unlimited. Because maybe if that's my first step, I'll always be thinking, oh, fuck, man, I got that membership. I should go. And then you don't go because you bought the membership. You already did all the work. You know what I mean? You don't need to go anymore. But maybe people need to do, I don't know, I have some problems with leisure. I mean, this is a real problem-filled show. I'm having a lot of problems right now. I have a problem with leisure. Like, I have, you know, sitting around. For some reason, missing a week of work was, like, the hardest thing I've ever done. I felt like a criminal. You know what I mean? And I missed a week of work as in, like, I did nothing. I mean, I didn't get to, you know, hang out or do anything crazy. I was, like, asleep 80% of the time, except at night. You know, when I couldn't sleep, of course, because I slept all day, probably, or I don't know, conditions worsen. I don't even know where this all was going, but here's my point. You do the gym thing, right? Well, maybe if you're, okay, you're like me, you have trouble sometimes doing leisure, like, you know, you're always sacrificing your leisure time doing the stuff you want to do because it's like, well, or I could go do this, but you don't really want to. Well, if you get up on a Sunday and you're like, I want to play a video game. I want to play some Batman Arkham City because I've only got like 60%. And the 10% from 50 to 60 has taken me 800 hours. But I'm going to commit to it today. If you wake up on Sunday and put on your robe, that's like a little signal to the world. You know what I mean? Of like, hey, man, I'm in robe time right now. This is not like a real time for me to be awake and doing things. This is robe time, okay? So whatever, you know, wild flower hikes we had planned or dinner with weird couples or, you know, us doing something that we, you know, can't really pull off and we're going to get home Sunday at like 7 p.m. and be like, fucking shit. You know, I'll be sitting here then in my jeans and shoes that I wore out and a button-up shirt playing Batman Arkham City until 2 a.m. because I always want to fight the ending of the weekend. You can turn that whole paradigm on its head. Why are we making time for the things we don't want to do and then not making time for the things we want to do? So I'd say get a robe and, you know, make that your, like, this is... I put this robe on. It's a subtle thing. I put this robe on when I want to, you know, designate time, right? And it can be a signal to yourself in the world. It doesn't have to be unspoken, but it doesn't have to be as overt as this is my Lay's robe. So, you know, Tuesday I make these purchases. Sure enough, about Tuesday, 4 a.m., I wake up. Feeling like complete garbage, you know, but in that Tuesday, I still had some optimism, right? Because this is the first day I'm missing, or, you know, Wednesday, I guess it would be. It's the first day I'm going to miss. No big deal. I feel like crap. Everyone's been missing some days. No big thing. So I, you know, emailed work and was like, I'm not going to be, you know, at like 4 in the morning or something. And I was like, I'm not going to be in, guys. Here's my stuff I have to do. If someone could cover, that would be awesome. So, you know, but when you first are sick from work, day one is usually, I mean, here's my progression. Usually if I'm sick, it's for 2 days, right? Day one is the day that should be day two. Day one, I actually go to work and feel like shit. You know what I mean? Day two, I stay home like I should have on day one and, you know, recover and feel like complete crap and just do nothing all day, just lay there. Day three, I'll stay home and, you know, towards the end of the day, I start feeling a little restless again, feel a little unroby, ready to sort of tackle tasks and whatnot. And then, so what does that put us at? Day four, go back. You know, so there's the one day in there, the second day, where you're like, I feel okay. I'm not 100%, but I feel okay. That's not how this one went. Day one, I felt like complete shit. Shivering, sweating, couldn't get warm. I woke up, you know, during the night, I would wake up covered in sweat. Like, I would wake up confused. You know, and then realized that my hair was soaked in sweat, my own sweat. You know, and the pillowcase was covered too, like saturated. And be like, oh my God. So I would get up and, you know, the clothes I was wearing were completely drenched. So I'd go and I'd be trying to change my clothes, but then I'd start shivering so much. It was like, I mean, my teeth were chattering, all that stuff, and like I could barely do it. It was a huge thing. And then I'd get back in the bed or the couch or wherever, and it would take, you know, 45 minutes before I was not cold. Not even warm, just not cold. Then fall asleep, wake up 2 hours later, drenched in sweat, and, you know, repeat for the night. I mean, this went on for 3 days, nonstop. You know what I mean? Where, I mean, you know, I didn't go to work. The next day, I was like, I'm still not feeling good. And then even Friday, I was like, I can't believe this, but I feel like crap, you know? And I was like, you know what? I'm calling in Friday. I'm sure by Monday, I'll feel good. Weekend goes by, same deal. Monday, still feel like shit. Tuesday, I finally decided to go to the doctor. You know what I mean? Because I was like, all right. And what prompted the doctor visit is that my tonsils are so swollen that I keep waking up in the night because I'm not breathing. Because when I try to breathe in, the airway is completely blocked. There's a little slot, you know, because you've got your tonsils on each side and your uvula. And I swear to Christ, I looked in the mirror and it's like a slot on each side of the uvula. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I got nothing in there. So I couldn't sleep because I would start, I'm not much of a snorer, but if I sleep on my back, I'm going to snore. However, I was snoring on my sides, on my stomach, whatever. And the thing is, like, whenever I do start snoring on my back, usually one snore wakes me up and I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm snoring. I got to roll over. So I would feel myself start to snore every time and wake up, you know what I mean? So this is not working. So finally, I was like, well, I'm not sleeping at all at night. You know, I'd wake up at like 6 in the morning and be like, thank Christ the night is over. I mean, that's another good sign that you're not sleeping well, is when you wake up and think, thank fucking God the night's over. Like, I thought the night would never end. And the days were like that too, you know? I'd be sitting there and feeling like shit and think, oh, it's got to be like 5, you know what I mean? It would be 1, something like that. This went on and on, you know, and I was thinking about things as I was sick, you know. It was a weird, weird time being sick like that. I don't know, I had weird thoughts. Like first, so here's what I'm saying. When you're sick, usually it's like one day of horrible sickness, day two of medium sickness that kind of, by the end of the day, you feel pretty fine. I mean, you feel ready. You're sure that the next day you'll be ready to go. I tried to go back to work on Monday, you know, and I lasted like 2 hours and was just like, I can't make it. And what's horrible, this is what I don't like about myself, okay? This is one of my problems. I have a real problem calling in sick and doing stuff like that. And I went to work and I was sitting there feeling like complete crap and like thinking maybe I'll make it through the day. And then I was like, I don't think I'm going to make it, you know? And then I was driving home just thinking how I was like, you know, normally I go to work and then I'll go to the gym and do all kinds of stuff. And today I was like, all right, I'm going to get up, have some breakfast, make it through the workday, come straight home and go to bed. You know what I mean? And not because I'd been out partying or something, just because I felt so horrible. And I was like, what a terrible life to live where it's like you're just like doing everything you can to feel good enough to make it through your workday. You know what I mean? There's like no human part of you left. It's just like, as long as I can get through this workday, everything is going to be, you know, okay enough. That's really all I'm shooting for at this point in life, is barely make it through the day. Nothing left for myself, nothing that I want to do, nothing about, you know, fun or enjoyment or anything like that. Just like, as long as I can get through the day. You know, and that got me thinking all crazy too, because I'm like, this is kind of the life that a lot of people live, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've talked about my fears of having children and whatnot, but it's like, is that what it's like? If you have kids, you kind of like get up when they get up and then you go to work so you can provide for everyone, which is a good thing to do, and then, you know, get home and take care of them and put them to bed. I mean, Is that kind of what you're resigned to for the next 10 years or whatever? 12, 15, 18, 20 years? I mean, that seems hard to me. Maybe I'm still kind of a selfish person in a way that I don't want to do that. But it seems sad to me, I guess, to live a life where, like, I look forward to getting home, and not just because I'm not at work, because the things I want to do, I can start doing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel very, I don't identify with people who are like, I don't know, man, I get home, I sit on the couch, and then I just don't feel up to anything. Because as much as, I mean, I like to do that. That's the thing. You know, maybe I will come home sometimes and sit on the couch and watch an entire season of The New Girl. Don't let me forget to talk about that. But I'm doing that because that's what I'm enjoying. You know what I mean? It makes me feel good, and I'm happy that I'm doing that. And, you know, part of it is that I think it feels like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this, but it's okay once in a while to watch a whole season of The Office in a day, something like that. I don't know. It just seems sad that people aren't doing things that they enjoy at all. So I don't know. That was, I mean, you know, and then you start thinking all this stuff like, maybe I need to change my life. You know what I mean? It's time to make a big change. You know, like Allison moved out to Colorado from her home state because she just really liked it. And, you know, all forever I've been thinking, like, I would love to live in Portland, Oregon. You know, I've just visited there. It feels really nice there. It's pretty. It's rainy. I like everything about it. You know what I mean? And yes, I've seen Portlandia. Thanks for asking. Is there a gay woman bookstore natural place? Probably. You know what I mean? I don't know. But there's other stuff, too, that I would be more interested in. Not that I wouldn't be interested in. Well, I probably wouldn't be interested in that. Let's be serious. I don't really eat a lot of quinoa, so I don't need to peruse shelves at stores like that. You know, so she wanted to move out here, and then she did, and then things have worked out. And I'm always like, there's so much stuff here that, you know, I gotta finish having braces and pay my student loan and all that. And then you start thinking, like, I don't know, man, maybe you don't need to. Maybe you'll be fucking 40 and be like, oh, God, I wish I would have moved. Who knows? Things are getting real cosmic on this show. This is like just the ramblings. Being in a robe. Also, when you're just talking out loud and no one's around, you feel like some eccentric billionaire who's completely lost his fucking mind. You know what I mean? Because you're just talking about nothing. No one's really listening. And you've got, you know, what you're thinking is all this wise insight. But unfortunately, it'll all be recorded, and someday I'll probably think, I don't really remember what I said because I was, you know, sick as fuck on that show. Maybe I should go back and listen to it and be like, oh my God. Okay, buddy. Let's calm down with all the stuff that you're saying to nobody about nothing. So I did go to the doctor, finally. You know, and I get in there, and it's like, they ask me what's going on. I'm like, I've had these horrible symptoms, you know, but no diarrhea, no stuffy nose, but everything else. And then, you know, my throat is still so sore and swollen. And, you know, I mean, it was bad. Swallowing was painful. I couldn't even drink water, you know, because when I get sick, I try to just power through. I'll set out 8 glasses of water and just try to power through it. You know what I mean? Quickly. And if it's already set out, for some reason, it's easy for me to do. Couldn't even drink like 2 because swallowing hurt so bad. You know, it's hard to eat, whatever. So I get there, put me on the scale for what, you know, I don't know, in case I lost 40 pounds or something. And then take my blood pressure. I mean, and then she tells me what it was as if I was going to say, ah, that's good. I'm going to add that to my home. What's my blood pressure chart or something? I have no fucking idea what that means. Something over something. I'm like, good, bad, you know, I've been on NyQuil for like 5 days, so This is probably not a representative sample of my usual health, but okay. Looks in my ears, of course, asks me a bunch of questions. Asked three times I got asked if I'm a smoker, you know what I mean? Which I was like, well, I mean, I think if I was a smoker, I would know, like, oh, you know what? I did smoke 3 packs of cigarettes last night, so I am, maybe that's why. Maybe I made this doctor's appointment a little hastily. Oh, also, while I was there, I'll tell you this, being home alone and not really talking very much to anyone, or even, you know, using, I mean, I didn't post anything this whole week. This is probably the first I've, you know, whatever. It makes you weird. It makes you weird, by which I mean it makes everyone seem weird. You know, I went out, I had to go to the store. You know, you always hit that juncture where you're like, well, I don't have these things, but I'll be okay. But then it was like, I don't have toilet paper. I gotta go to the store. And I don't have anything that I can eat that's soft enough. So it's like, all right, so you're out of food and toilet paper. I mean, these things could kind of work out together, because if you're not eating anything, you probably won't need the toilet paper so bad, but let's be realistic and just make a trip to the store, huh? You go out to the store, everyone seems weird. Like, I must have just looked like a zombie, because I'm walking around, my mouth is hanging open, because I'm just looking at people and the way they're dressed and thinking, like, what a crazy person. You know, you'd see somebody. I see someone just wearing, you know, I don't know, like jeans that seem to have a seam up along the side that have a leopard pattern to them. You know what I mean? Like someone wanted to widen the legs a little with leopard. And I'm just thinking, what is that? What is that person attracting or repelling more likely with that? What is, when that person saw those jeans and was putting them on, what was their thought? I mean, I don't really think a lot about when I put on my jeans. I kind of look and see, like, well, okay, this makes me look like I have normal human legs. I still have virtually no butt, which is just the reality of it, but this seems to express that. I don't have, like, 8 inches extra hanging down from my crotch. These jeans are not so tight that I could wear another pair of jeans under them, yet not so loose that I could wear, or under, you know, not so tight, not so loose that I could wear another pair of jeans under or over them. So, you know, these are my standards. But I feel like it requires an explanation if you buy some jeans with some extra flair, let's say, that doesn't really seem to have a lot of purpose to it. You know, or you see everyone in the cosmetic aisle and you're just like, why are you in here? You're just going to die anyway, alone, on a couch somewhere, sweating through a robe. It's getting dark, huh? There we go. You see people shopping for holiday gifts. And you're just like, why? You know, they're like arguing over the gifts they're getting. And I'm like, who cares? You're just spending money on somebody. It's just a show of affection. I think it's fine. All these horrible, stupid things make sense in a weird way. It's like, I feel like this sickness for me goes through my mind the way some people describe being on shrooms or something, where they're like, everything seemed wonderful and made sense, except I'm like, well, it was all kind of shitty, but it did make sense. You know, the whole like, oh, it's the thought that counts. And it's like, it really is, because I don't think it, you know, you don't even remember who gave you what a month later. You're like, oh, I'm happy I have this thing. Or you're like, well, I remember a general sense of happiness from Christmas. But that's, oh, Christmas is coming, by the way. Fuck that shit. I was so happy. I was talking to Allison the other night. And she was talking about how, you know, where she works, they got a Christmas tree. It's like a government-sponsored type of place, you know. And she was saying, I fucking hate that, because she worked in a similar place on the East Coast, you know, and she's like, we didn't do that because it's not appropriate. Separation of church and state, all that. But more than that, it's like, you don't need more Christmas. And I was like, oh my god, I've said these exact words before. You know, I'm just like, I've never had a Christmas where I'm like, I can't figure out where Christmas is this year. Where's all the Christmas? Where are the trees, the lights, the weird obligations that you don't expect? Where's all the stuff? You know, and it's like, maybe every single place doesn't need to have their own Christmas happening. You know, isn't... I mean, can't you do that at home? Isn't that the specialness of it, that it's at home? Why... What's special about your fucking bank having a tree out with a bunch of empty boxes wrapped? You know? I remember being a kid, you'd see those, and you'd be like, I wonder what's in those boxes. I wonder if it's anything good. And then you get older, and you're like, I'm sure it's just empty fucking boxes. Empty. I mean, there's a, you know, some weird cryptic metaphor about the emptiness of Christmas there or something. I don't know. Anyway. So it's rough. You go out, you're used to not having to put on any sort of a face. And like the face I'm talking about, I think, is usually a subconscious thing. But I think we all sort of have a face we put out on public because we go out there and we're the face of not making a face. Of not looking at someone who's behaving very strangely and saying, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Or who's like rushing through the line at Target to like get to the back line because it's a little less full and like cut some old lady off or something. And you're just like, what are you doing? So you have to have like this face that keeps you from doing that all the time, you know? And you lose a little bit of touch with that. You have, it's like a lose it or use it or lose it skill. I mean, I'm sure it'll come back. God, I hope so, because otherwise I probably really had some rough encounters at work. But I'm sure it'll come back. It's a weird thing to lose, though, you know? You feel very raw, very exposed to everything, you know what I mean? You start feeling very regretful of the entirety of your past and your future, which hasn't even happened yet. So I go to the doctor. They're fixing the roof. And, you know, it got me all off on this thing because they're fixing the roof. And so they're having a very office-y time there. You know, something happens in your office or your work and it kind of causes a big stir or whatever. Now, granted, I'm in this doctor's office and they are like stomping around on the roof and they would, I don't know what they were doing, but they would drop something. And like pens would be shaking in cups and, you know, things are rattling in the office. There's like glass in the coffee table that's rattling and shit, so it was a pretty big deal. But my God, every time something would drop, someone would go, oh my God. And you know, there's that very office-y thing where you hear the same joke from 10 different people. I hear 10 different people tell me, I'm just waiting to hear a crash and then see a pair of legs coming through the drywall in the ceiling. You know what I mean? I must have, every person I talked to must have said that, which I was like, what? Why would you think that? I would think a, you know, bag of concrete or something, whatever they're dropping up there would come just crashing through before a person. But whatever, I mean, I don't know. What do I know? If it's taking that kind of pounding, I can't imagine some guy just walking around on sunshine up there is going to come bashing through. But, you know, and then it was like a big thing and... You know, I'm sitting in the room, and then, like, my doctor comes in, and she's just like, oh, my God, can you believe this? And she wants me to identify with, like, isn't this horrible? And I'm kind of like, I don't know, man. I'm pretty busy being sick here. Like, I can't really even, this to me doesn't seem crazy because I'm just so sick that just being outside is like an assault on the senses right now. I mean, I think I've been outside maybe 3 times in the last week. It's crazy. I mean, and by outside, I mean outdoors of my apartment. My front door opened. I don't even mean, you know, oh, well, I went out to the car, got some stuff, or I just went to the grocery. I mean, I've barely left this place. I'm sure there's an odor in here that's sweet and bizarre. So anyway, you know, I was just like, listen, lady, I'm sick as fuck. You're prescribing me medicine. She's like, do you need a note for work? I'm like, sure, why not? Because I don't think I do, but what the hell, you know? I just wanted to see what that's like. And then I was like, well, when would you say I'm not contagious anymore? And she's like, I don't want you to go back to work before Thursday. So I'm like, God damn it, you know. So I've got now Tuesday and Wednesday to still be sick before I can even go back. I mean, in a way it was good, because then I could just call and say, I guess I'll be back Thursday. But in a way it was crappy, because I was hoping she would say, like, oh man, you're going to pop one of these pills and feel great. So then I went to my local Walgreens pharmacy to pick up my prescription. Quite a thing there. You know, I'm waiting in line, and they have a drive-through. This is fucking annoying to me, I have to say. Everywhere you go, like Starbucks, McDonald's, if they have a drive-through, it seems like they're real worried about the people in the drive-through. You know? Because they're like, they must be in a hurry because they're in the drive-through. And it's like, no, they just didn't want to get out of their car. I don't think that that's the case anymore. You know? Or like the express line at the grocery store, that 10 items or less. I don't think it's necessarily like, I'm in a rush, I better hit that one. It's more like, well, I have 12 items. That's pretty goddamn close. I think I'm going to go for it. So, you know, I get there, and of course, the lady is like helping someone in the drive-thru, right? And she's talking to them through her headset or whatever, and they're sitting out there in their car. And I hear, like, I hear this funny thing where, you know, she sends some pills out and she's still talking to them. And then she goes away for a second and comes back and starts talking. And then she says something like, oh, yeah, you know, I caught you right when you put something in your mouth there, huh? And I'm thinking, you know, like a waitress when they come and they ask, how's the food? And you just took a huge bite. So apparently somebody's in the drive-thru taking their medication, like, straight out of the fucking pneumatic tube. How sick are you that you're taking your pills in the drive-thru? I mean, Jesus Christ, that's like if you were at Wendy's, and, you know, I started eating the fries while they were getting my change somehow. You know what I mean? I hand them a five, grab a handful of fries, and they come back, and they're like, ha-ha, couldn't wait, and it's like, that's embarrassing. I mean, I guess I'm glad that that person, maybe the drive-thru is a good thing, because it keeps them from exposing the rest of us to whatever sickness is like, if I don't get this pill in the next 10 minutes, I might not make it. But I'm able to drive, so I don't know. So, you know, I'm standing around there looking at the stuff they have. Good selection of diabetes socks. I have a pair of diabetes socks. I put them on the other night when I was feeling sick. For some reason, I'm like, oh, I don't know, these squeeze your legs. That'll probably help me. Why not? Couldn't hurt. I never put these on unless I'm very cold or very sick or very out of socks. Boy, do I hate them, though. I don't even know how I ended up with those. They're just, I can't tell what they are other than they seem to be socks with extra strong elastic in them. Stupid. They also, they had a nice display of, you know, cough drops and whatnot. And it was weird because in with the cough drops and stuff, they also had Lifesavers mints. Which I'm like, that's not really a cough drop. Okay, though. And then they also had Werther's Original butterscotch candies. So I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just to appeal to the old in the crowd, you know, that I'm sure are attending Walgreens often. Or maybe it's trick them. Or maybe it's just like they get their candy. Or maybe old people may think that Werther's are a medicine. Maybe that's why they're so into them. Or maybe they just say, like, maybe old people are right, too. Maybe Halls don't do shit, and they're just like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to get Werther's. I mean, I'm just going to get these, tell my wife I'm having a cough drop, and enjoy a fucking piece of candy. You know, at least I have that joy left in my life. I thought about getting old, too. Whenever I'm sick, I'm like, I wonder if this is what it's like to be old all the time, like to feel this weak and whatnot. Like, is this what my grandma feels all the time? If so, Jesus Christ. But, you know, so maybe candy is, like, one of the few things you're like, well, I can take some pleasure out of candy. So that's something. They had a mail-in AIDS test, too, sitting up there behind the counter. $60! Can you believe that shit? I don't understand why it would take $60 to get an AIDS test. I mean, pregnancy test is like that, too. Have you guys ever bought one of those? If you haven't, you're either living life a very great way or a very terrible way. I mean, that's probably a sign of, like, you are the upper crust of society and I should try to be more like you, or you are rock bottom and you're just like, eh, fuck it, you know. But I mean, those things are like $20. AIDS test is $60. I mean, don't we want people to take these things? There should be... I don't really know a lot about exactly what a government subsidy is and how it works, but why wouldn't you have cheap AIDS test? If someone came into my Walgreens and was like, I want an AIDS test, and then I said it's $60, and they're like, all right, never mind, I think I'd be very tempted to sponsor that individual. You know what I mean? Just be like, oh, look, just take it. Here, we'll say you stole it. I mean, if people are stealing an AIDS test, that seems like a win to me. I don't know. If you could make the condom stealable, maybe people wouldn't steal the pregnancy test, huh? Wouldn't need to. I would rather be caught stealing condoms than a pregnancy test, that's for sure. That's like always the thing in the movies that you steal. Like a kid will steal something and then this kindly cop chases him down. And then he sees it's like two candy bars and a pregnancy test. And then he's just like, just beat it, kid. Get out of here, you know, because he's like, this kid's got fucking problems. I don't need to go around busting some dumb bastard just because he wants to see if his woman's knocked up. But, you know, walking around the Walgreens, $60, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you just have the AIDS and then use the $60 for a nice apology gift. Could buy something pretty nice for $60. You know, in a couple years from now, I mean, there's got to be an iPod Shuffle that's like $60, right? I mean, I guess you don't want to get that as your AIDS, I gave you AIDS apology gift because, I don't know, it looks cheap, right? You should probably at least get the Nano touchscreen, something. I mean, for AIDS. We're not talking about herpes here, people. This is like a serious fucking life-threatening illness. I mean, yeah, you give someone crabs, the gift is like, well, here's the stuff to get rid of the crabs. Herpes, you're like, well, here's a good doctor. And you know what? Just to take your mind off things, iPod Shuffle. I know it's not the best, but it's something. AIDS. I mean, yeah, good luck getting your mind off that. Here's some stationery so you can send some cards to some people. And, you know, here's every Legend of Zelda game ever made. All tied together so you can play all of them. Because... you might have some days that you're not feeling up to going to work. So yeah, I don't know. I don't understand the pharmacy too. Everyone was like, go to pharmacy school. You know, that's like the easiest job with the least, you know, with the schooling and whatnot. They're not doing anything back there. I mean, you're basically a vending machine, right? What takes so much work? What is the school exactly? I would like to know. I mean, they say, like, oh, your pharmacist makes sure that your different drugs don't interact. And it's like, can you just type them into a computer? I mean, ever since we've had Microsoft Excel, I think we've sort of out-needed our whatever for fucking pharmacists. Oh, God, this is going great, huh? Also, I don't like that there should be certain jobs where you're allowed to wear a scrub and a lab coat. I mean, lab coat should be scientist and doctor. Doctor, doctor. Like, if I don't call you doctor whatever, you probably don't get a lab coat. Or if you're not doing something with test tubes and beakers and Bunsen burners, if you can't tell me a lot about brands of Bunsen burners, like what's your favorite and why, I probably don't need you to be wearing a lab coat ever. Scrubs. I mean, similar. The standards could be lower. But I think you should probably work in a doctor's office, a hospital, and I'll even accept dentist office, okay? But, like, working at the fucking pharmacy, what do you need that for? The problem is, like, let's say I'm working at McDonald's. Someone comes in with scrubs. I tend to see that person and think, this person's probably busy. I should, you know, I'm going to help them out, or they're probably doing a good thing. I'm going to make sure their stuff turns out right. I don't think this person has probably spent all day shampooing dogs. You know what I mean? With their dog-themed scrubs. Not that that's not a good job, but I mean, come on, it's not. It'd be like if I wore a cop uniform for my job, which was working at a factory. You know, it doesn't really mean the same thing. I don't, you know, I wore a pilot's uniform all the time on my days off. Or, you know, I worked at the car wash and I have my pilot's uniform on. And it's like, oh, I like the way people treat me in this. And it's like, yeah, no fucking shit. But you're living a lie. I mean, if you like the way people treat you because they think you're a doctor, maybe you should become a doctor. I hate that. I mean, everything about being sick, too, like, is just, it's about, like, wasting a bunch of time. I mean, you go into a place and they just fucking, you know, the doctor is like, wait here, and then go in this other room and wait here, and then they have the nurse come in and ask you all these questions, and then the doctor comes in and asks the same questions, you know, and then has you sit up on a thing, and it's like, why are you looking in my eye? Do you really need to look in my eye? I told you exactly. Or why wouldn't you start looking in my throat, okay? If I tell you my throat is killing me, here are my other symptoms. Killing me. And it's like, she looks in there finally and she says, oh man, those things are really red, swollen, and pus covered. And I'm like, great. She's like, oof, man, those things are red and covered in pus. And I said, thank you. You know, and I was just like, why wouldn't you start with that? I mean, if you look in there and everything looks fine and I have these symptoms, maybe then tell me to step on the scale and make sure that whatever that would tell you isn't happening, right? But before everything else, I don't know. Give me a break, you know? But I guess it's something. I mean, it's made me think a little about my life, this sickness. I hope this was somewhat of a listen-to-able thing. I'm really excited about our 100th episode, you guys. It's going to be huge. We've got music. We've got a ton of guests coming. So if you've liked anyone who's been on our show before, chances are they're going to be on again. And if you don't like someone, chances are they're going to be on again. So if you just like me, that might be too bad. But you'll get plenty of me to go around, believe me. There's going to be more than enough Pete on this show. If you're listening to this and for some reason want to be on our 100th show, but, you know, weren't invited, just send me an email, helpfulsnowman@gmail.com. We're going to just keep on pressing on. You know what I mean? I understand that I'm in an altered state. It's like making a big decision to change your life after you break up with a longtime girlfriend. Always a mistake. So, you know, I think a lot of this thinking is the same thing. And, you know, we all have times we want to give up where we just think, enough. Life is enough. You know, the other day, I almost wore a pair of socks instead of mittens because I couldn't find any mittens. And I just, you know, I was looking through my drawer and I was like, well, here's some socks. They're black. No one's going to be able to tell from a distance. I was going to go for a jog at night. No one's going to know that these are socks instead of mittens. But God damn it, you can't just wear socks instead of mittens just because no one else will know. You can't just give up. We have to keep going, keep persevering. And sometimes you got to just maintain the standard just for yourself. You know what I mean? Because no one else is going to be there to do it. You're going to be laying there sick, sweating through a robe. And there's going to be that part of you that's like, we don't ever need to do anything again. And the other part of you that says, I think you might be right. But you got to listen to that part of you that's like, well, no, maybe so. However, I'm going to act as if I still have some sort of a life that I want to be involved in. That I have some kind of goals and things that I actually want to have happen for me and to me. So I'm going to just keep on going, you know what I mean, and hope that when that stuff comes, I'm prepared. Oh, man, I forgot to talk about the new girl. I can't decide if it's the worst show I've ever seen or great. Sometimes it has a piece of dialogue that makes me laugh, but the characters are like the stupidest people in the world. I hate them all. There's nothing likable about any of them. You know, it's Zooey Deschanel as a wacky girl. And her roommates, she lives with three guy roommates, which is such a sitcom thing. I don't. This is. I mean, I guess you could tune out at this point if you're just. I don't know. This is such a stupid thing to talk about. But it's like I was watching this as I was sick, you know, and I would pass out and wake up during another episode. But the beauty of a show like that is the plot is pretty much irrelevant. You know what I mean? It's like watching The Family Guy where you're like, eh, the plot's kind of secondary to the funnies. And, you know, she's here's the thing. It's a girl. She lives with three male roommates, none of whom seem to really want to fuck her, which is crazy. I mean, that can't have ever happened. I feel like if there were three men and a woman, any woman moved in with three men, somebody ends up having sex, even if they don't really want to. It's got to be the way it is. And, you know, so one of the guys is just your average slackery guy who's clearly, you know, the one that you're rooting for, I guess. There's the one alpha male douchebag, bro kind of guy. And then there's a black guy. These are your characters, you know what I mean? Black guy. That's a thing. That's a guy. I mean, can you imagine if I had three roommates and you're like, oh, describe them to me. And I'm like, all right, well, one is like your average late 20s sort of slacker guy who never has a job. You're like, all right, that kind of makes sense. And then I say, all right, roommate number two is like a total alpha male wearing these suits, working some corporate job. He's real into, like, you know, cleansing and fasts and fashion. And, like, being, you know, up on shit. You're like, I don't really see how those two guys get along at all, but all right. Maybe it's an odd couple. Who's your third roommate? And I just say, oh, a black guy. You're like, what's he like? I'm like, you know, like a black guy. I mean, he's black. He does black stuff. He plays basketball at one point. He has a black girlfriend. Okay. Very descriptive. Thank you. Wow. I can't believe that you just said that way. That's amazing. So anyway, I hate the characters, but it's very, every once in a while, there's just something, you know, there's like a guy who has bad credit and the one guy just tosses off this thing that's like, well, you have the credit of a ghost who's a hobo or something like that. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty funny. I don't know. I don't like these things confusing me like this. Anyway, okay, that's enough. Thanks for listening to how I feel about season one of The New Girl. You know, stay tuned for the next time. I'm horribly ill to hear how season two goes for me. Get excited, because next week we've got our 100th show, okay? We have a lot of great games. We have the face-off description game that we'll be playing. We have What Is This Liquid? The game. We have several multiplication rock things going. We're going to have a lot of great stuff. I'll probably tell the story of when my pants ripped. My crotch and my pants ripped. We might watch some cooking segments on here. We're going to have tons and tons of guests. We're going to have our first ever phone-in guest. We've got, you know, our dice with the drinks. I don't know if I'll be able to drink, but we'll see. We've got, Pete's App Corner. For the first time, we'll be reviewing some apps. We've also, you know, we've got all kinds of great stuff coming. Maybe if, you know, if we have a long spell, I'll tell the tale of my motorcycle. Come and gone. Like an old friend. So, you know, get maudlin. So for people who like that, and for people who don't, you know, we'll probably talk about fucking face-off for a while. So tune in for that, okay? Make it special for us. Make it special for you. Put on your robe. Mark the occasion, right? You gotta do something. All right. Thanks for listening. Have a good week, everybody. I still can't see how to get you off of my mind. Same old sky, it could be so much more with you. It's
star after star. I'm so bored with the stars. They're really nothing new. Nothing's new without you. There's no thinking positive. There's no good ending. We're on two different planes heading in two different directions. I got your number, but I don't have courage. And if I did for a second, I'd call you up and I'd say something about how lovesick I remain.